You know, my name is Kyle. For those that don't know me, you may be a guest here. I serve as the lead pastor here. And it's just an awesome privilege to be able to celebrate Christmas together with you. My mind works in some interesting ways. I was sitting there thinking, there's probably some folks out there that wish they could be up there beatboxing, but there's probably some folks sitting out there wishing they could get in on some of that singing. Now, I could be wrong, but I mean, if I were to start off those O's that they were doing, would you join in with me just to see how we sound? Like, oh, 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 oh. Come on, join me. Oh, 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 oh. Come on now. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Come on, you can do better than that. Keep it going. Oh, 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 oh. 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 Give yourselves some props. Now, I just need the ushers to bring the volunteer applications for the Worship Arts Ministry down the aisles right now. We'll pass them down each row. Some of y'all should be serving in the choir and in the band. Hey, I am excited to preach the word this evening. I get to preach the Christmas Eve message, and it's just a great joy to talk about Jesus. That's really the reason we're here, right? We're here to worship Jesus. I was out and about today. Yep. I was out and about today, and I had some invitations with me to the Christmas Eve services, and I gave one to a young lady. I don't know if she'll make it to one of the three services, but when I handed it to her, her response was, well, I'm not religious. And so she said, I'll give it to my grandmother because she's religious. And I was like, well, you know, if you get the urge to come, the nudge to come, you should still just come and check it out. And she's like, no, I'm atheist, and so I won't be there. I'm not a religious person. And what went through my mind was, I'm not a religious person either. I'm all about relationship. See, religion is about what you do, and relationship with Jesus is about what's already been done. And so I'm not a religious person either. I just want people, by the time this is done, to understand more about relationship with Jesus. Because that's what this is really all about. We get an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus. So as you listen to the message, as you listen to the songs are not about religion. If you think that your loved one got you into church for this service just because they want you to be religious, that's not what it's all about. I'd like to pray before I dive into the message. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what Christmas is all about. Because of this baby, Jesus, you give us the opportunity to enter into relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that from the most skeptical person in the room to the person that is the most spiritually mature, whatever that looks like. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts today by the power of your Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you, O Lord. So would you speak now because your servants are listening. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. And everyone said, amen. We've been in a sermon series called Signs leading up to this service. And so if you are not a part of our church family, but you want to hear the sermons related to this series, you can certainly get online, www.kentwoodcommunitychurch.com, and just check out the weeks leading up to this sermon. But we've called it Signs, and we've been asking the congregation to be on the lookout. Pay attention for how God may be trying to speak through the various signs that you see in our culture. And so I've entitled the message for the Christmas Eve service, Hidden Sign, Hidden Sign. And I'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 20. And I believe when it comes to hidden signs, that just simply describes that sometimes when we hear a story that we're familiar with, like the Christmas story, I think if we look more deeply, our eyes can be open. We might see some things that we have not seen before. Just to kind of set this up, some of you have seen various logos and signs in our culture. For example, if you've ever taken a college art class, maybe you've seen this logo before from FedEx. And if you've ever taken an art class, you know that embedded between the E and the X is an arrow there that's pointing in a direction. And maybe you've never seen that before, but that arrow communicates something. It communicates movement. Maybe some of you all use FedEx to move some Christmas gifts this season. And FedEx wants you to know that they're all about movement. Or maybe this logo, Amazon.com. Anybody order Christmas gifts on Amazon.com this season? Well, that little arrow there from A to Z, Amazon wants you to look closely to let you know that they carry products at every letter in the alphabet, from A to Z. Maybe you've never noticed that little arrow there before, but if you look closely, you see a message they're trying to communicate. Now, I might get some of you craving for some ice cream on this one, but Baskin-Robbins has a logo. I remember as a kid when we would go to 31 Flavors Ice Cream in Detroit on Livernois Avenue near 7 Mile. That was a special time with the family. Well, somebody says they know about Livernois in Detroit, huh? Well, Baskin-Robbins, they've gotten away from the 31 Flavors name. They go by Baskin-Robbins, but you can see still embedded in that logo is the number 31 because that's what most people knew them as earlier. And the last one, the last logo, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl logo. If you look closely at that logo, you might have never noticed that the two T's at the middle of the logo are enjoying a chip and some salsa together. It just speaks to celebration, fiesta, right? So they want you to see that celebration is going on. And when you look at these logos and you look more closely, you look more deeply, you see a message there that's kind of embedded in there. And I believe that as you look at the Christmas story, the story of the birth of Jesus, if you look closely, you'll see a significant message in there about God's presence in the world. So if you have a Bible, I hope you do, or on your phone or on your tablet, we always say here, you have permission to look at your phone or your tablet. Just don't be Facebooking while I'm preaching, unless you happen to want to tweet something profound that I say. I'm always joking when I say that, by the way. Not like some egomaniac that needs to be tweeted. Verse 4 of Luke chapter 2 begins this way. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. What precedes this account is that Joseph and Mary are engaged to be married, and Mary comes up pregnant. And in our culture, you know, we're accustomed to seeing shows like 16 and Pregnant, Teen Mom, and these things, but in this culture, this would have been totally unacceptable. In fact, it would have been a death sentence for Mary. But what we know is that Mary was visited by an angel before she was pregnant, and the angel told her, you are going to give birth to a child. Mary says, how can that happen? I've never been with a man. You're going to give birth to a child, and he's going to be the savior of the world. He's going to be known as Emmanuel. God is with us. And Joseph, when he hears that Mary is pregnant, has thoughts on secretly divorcing her, leaving her, and quietly doing it because he wants to honor her. He's an honorable man. But he's visited by an angel that says, Joseph, don't worry. What's conceived in Mary is from the Lord. And so they stay together. And then the emperor of the land, the emperor of the Roman people that were occupying the land, declares a census. Everybody has to go back to their town of origin in order to be counted, presumably so that they can be taxed more. And so this is the journey that Joseph and Mary are taking. He's got to take his very pregnant wife on this journey to Bethlehem. And when they get there, there's no place for them to stay. They're temporarily homeless. This is not a picture of them knocking on the door of the Red Roof Inn or the Holiday Inn. This is not the image that should come to mind. This was a guest house, and it seems that most of the family had arrived before them, and so there was no place for them to sleep inside the house. And so scholars debate about exactly where, whether it was in a cave or in a house that had the animals on the lower level and the family on the upper level, but it's apparent that they went to lay with the animals because the baby is born and then placed in a manger. And a manger is simply a feeding trough for animals. I've got some images of mangers. You know, our modern day adaptation, we tend to see them in wood and nicely constructed, but a manger very well could have been crafted from stone. It was what the animals ate out of. And this is what Jesus was placed in shortly after he was born. But here's what I think. I think that when we look at that manger scene and that baby in the manger, there's something powerful about that picture. I think the powerful presence of God is often hidden in plain sight. You know what it means to be hidden in plain sight, right? It's like the image of a spy in a movie that's on the run from the bad guys, and in order to get away, he just goes and blends into the crowd. And as long as he acts normal, like those Jason Bourne movies, as long as he acts normal, no one will notice him, just hidden in plain sight. I think anyone walking by that would have seen this baby in the manger, heard him crying, it wouldn't have seemed like anything powerful about this scene. But yet we know that this was God in the flesh coming to be the savior of the world, coming to rescue us, to deliver us, born in the most humble of circumstances, in a feeding trough, hidden in plain sight. One of my favorite movies is becoming Captain America 2. I don't know how many Marvel fans we have in the place. Any Captain America fans willing to admit it? See all the kids' hands go up. Okay, some adults too. Captain America 2, I know some of you haven't seen it, but there's this scene where Steve Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, is about to be taken in and questioned by some corrupt authorities. And he had been given a valuable flash drive with information on it from Nick Fury, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so as he looks around and he sees that they're about to take him in for questioning and he knows they're going to want this flash drive, he looks over and he sees a vending machine and it's being loaded. And so he secretly tucks the flash drive in the vending machine. It's there in plain sight, but the untrained eye wouldn't be looking for it. I think when you look at this story of Jesus, the untrained eye, the untrained ear, the one not familiar with how God would work, is not expecting to see the powerful presence of God in that manger. But that's exactly what we see. The God who comes in human flesh that can change everything about our lives, humble and in a manger. In fact, the text bears the significance of this out as we keep on going. Verse 8 says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Did you notice that the angel shows up to the shepherds, the least likely people to receive this news? Shepherds were perceived to be thieves and liars. You couldn't trust their testimony in public court. And so these shepherds received this news. It's good news of great joy. It literally could have been thousands of angels in the heaven that were speaking to them. And we're told that they were afraid. But this angel says, don't be afraid. This is the sign. That humble sign, that manger, is the sign that the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer, the Rescuer, the Lord, has been born. And I believe that this just confirms that oftentimes the signs of the presence of God are surprisingly simple. You know, I think about today when I invited that young lady to a Christmas Eve service, and she took this flyer, and she set it down, and she said, "I'll do something else with it. I'll invite my grandmother." I can't help but wonder if maybe she'll be looking at it a couple days from now or maybe even later on today. And when she gets off of work, maybe she'll see that there's an 11 o'clock service. And maybe I'm the third or the fourth person that's invited her to something like this today. And maybe, just maybe, this little simple card will be something that points her to the presence of God. It's oftentimes that we are looking for something big and powerful, like we want a sign from God. God, just speak to me. Show me your presence. Some of you are here and you're saying, "I've been looking for a sign from God all of this year, and I feel like I haven't gotten it yet." And what if it's in some of the simplest things of life? A simple voice from a friend or a relative, a simple relationship, a simple card like this, a simple sermon that you've heard that has changed your perspective on life. The signs of God's presence are surprisingly simple. This manger was surprisingly simple, and yet it was powerful. The shepherds receiving the news, it's surprisingly simple, but it's powerful, because if God can speak to shepherds who are perceived to be thieves and liars, God can speak to you no matter what your past has looked like. And so we're told in verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." Remember, the manger was the sign of God's powerful presence. The manger was surprisingly simple. "And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Did you notice the behavior of the shepherds? They heard some news. They went in faith. They saw what they were told they would see, and then they went and told others. A very simple progression. They responded in faith. They saw what they saw, they went and told what they saw, and we're told that everyone was amazed. And I would submit to you that because this is what Christmas is all about, the story of this birth and this life that changes everything, I would submit to you that the news of God's presence among us is still amazing and timeless today. The question is it still amazing and timeless to you? Does it still overwhelm you to think that God would give up everything and come down into this world to take on human flesh for you and for me? Is it still news that you can't help but tell other people, or has it become routine and something that's mundane and you don't really talk about it much? These shepherds show us how we ought to live. This was exciting news. They couldn't help but tell others. There's a Christian hip-hop artist named Lecrae. Now, I know not everyone's a hip-hop fan, but Lecrae has this song that it's called Tell the World. And it's interesting, we're in this series called Signs, and here's the lyrics to Tell the World. Now, I know some of you want me to dust off my rapping skills. I'm not going to rap it for you. I'm just going to say what the lyrics are. He says, now, I'm going to tell the world, tell them. I'm going to tell it everywhere I go. Tell the world, tell them. Yeah, I'm a billboard. Tell the world, tell them. Broadcast them like a radio. Tell the world you are to know I'm brand new. Now, I think about that song. He's saying, look, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. I'll be like a billboard in the sky. Like, you'll see me coming and you'll know what I'm proclaiming. I'm brand new. I'm going to broadcast it like a radio so that everyone can hear this good news about Jesus. He says, I'm going to tell the world everywhere that I go. This is what the shepherds did. Everywhere they went, they told people this story. Man, there was these angels. We were out in the field. There were like hundreds of them. They came. They were singing glory to God in the highest. And then they told us about the manger. Oh, it was so simple. This baby in a feeding trough. We didn't believe it. But then we saw it all, and it just confirmed it. And everybody we've told has been amazed by this news that God is coming, that God has come, and that everything's going to be different now. The birth of Jesus brings to light the reality that God wants to make each of us brand new. That's what Christmas is all about. You see, I've often said it. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection. And I mess with the Christmas Eve crowd sometimes, and I say, look, some of you in past years, I know that once I see you here at Christmas Eve, I won't see you again until Easter. It doesn't have to be that way. You can come back next week. You can come back on Sunday. It's going to be good. We'll sing songs. I'll preach and all of that. But some of you I won't see till Easter. Easter is when we celebrate the resurrection. Jesus was arrested. He was crucified. He's placed in a tomb. But Easter is all about the fact that he didn't stay dead. He rose with all power and authority. But Easter is a great celebration. But if it hadn't been any birth at Christmas, what we celebrate at Christmas, there'd be no life. If there's no life, there'd be no crucifixion. If there's no crucifixion, there'd been no resurrection. And if there was no resurrection, there'd be no hope for you and me. But the fact that Jesus got up alive means that there's hope for you and for me to be made brand new. No matter what your 2014 has been like, no matter what your life has been like, God wants to make us brand new. And so as we talk about signs in this sermon series, perhaps the biggest sign that you need to see, some of you need to see, is this sign. It simply says, follow Jesus. Like, I never want to assume when we gather for a worship service like this that everyone in the room is already convinced. I never want to assume that everyone in the room is already a Christ follower, is already in relationship with Jesus. In fact, because we encourage the congregation to invite people, I'm always hopeful that there's a large percentage of seats in the room that are filled by people who are not yet convinced, who are skeptical, who walk through the door saying, I don't know about all this Jesus thing. Because the hope is that as you hear this story of this powerful God that came in such a humble way, the hope is that you would leave saying, I need to follow him. Like, I saw people singing with their hands raised, and they were singing with hope and joy and enthusiasm. All these people are here and they're worshiping together. I want some of what they have. And so in a few moments after I pray, if today's the day that you need to follow Jesus, you know you've been walking away from God. You've been walking away from the Lord. We want to give you a chance right here at the Christmas Eve service 2014 to turn around and follow Jesus. Maybe that's the sign that you've been waiting for, just an invitation. It's not complicated. It's pretty simple. And so I want to encourage you to do that after I pray. I'm going to pray, and then I'll invite you forward. Heavenly Father, We thank you and we praise you, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you give us to walk in relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, for the reminder that in this simple image of a manger scene, this baby wrapped in cloths, that you use that as a sign that there was good news to bring great joy to all people. And Lord, that good news is still relevant today. The good news is that Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and because of that, we can have relationship with him. We can be saved. Lord, I know there's some in the room that just need to surrender to you. They just need to get off the path they've been walking on and come to you. They need to embrace that this baby in a manger is a powerful sign that can change their lives today. And so, God, you know who in the room you are nudging right now. And Lord, we just pray that folks would respond in obedience. God, thank you for the opportunity to worship you together at this candlelight service. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And everyone said, amen.